Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You might have heard this morning that the funeral notice website, or ip.ie, has been acquired by the Irish Times Group. It generates 60 million page views per month. This is people visiting the site looking for information on funeral arrangements, or maybe just to keep an eye on who has passed away. Like 60 million views per month. It's an incredible number of people in terms of the interest that we have in who has passed away. And like, that's pretty, you know, consistent, those figures. It's one of the most popular websites here in Ireland. And it does kind of make you wonder, why are we so obsessed with death and with death notices? Breathe McGowan, who's from McGowan's Funeral Directors in County Sligo, is with us on the line today. Breathe is also a singer. Breathe, why do you think, like, what is our fascination with the website rip.ie?
Well, I can only go from what my own opinion of it is, right? I've not done studies myself.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
What I think and what I believe is that in Ireland, we are so steeped in culture with death and funerals, and I believe we grieve the best in the world. Like, we do funerals the best. And a big part of our funeral service is the whole, you know, spending time with the deceased person, and it helps your grieving so much. But it also happens over quite a short space of time, you know, it all happened over like 3 or 4 days, you know, normally. So I just think that people are always looking on rip.ie because they just are so afraid of missing a funeral, because it's so important to us here and we all want to jump in and like help each other out, you know what I mean? So I think it's just in our nature that we want to jump in and help others, and that goes back to the history of the Mehel as well. So that would be like the old traditional way of doing funerals, where all the neighbours and friends and family would always do everything around the funeral. And we still have parts of that today in Sligo and Mayo, where the neighbours would dig the grave or friends would dig the grave for the family. And that's referred to as the Mehel, when everyone kind of comes in and does their part.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's why, and like the local radio stations as well, older people might listen to death notices. You know, it's just, you just don't want to miss that funeral.
Yeah.
If it's important to you, or if it's your good friend's parent or something like that, you know, you just want to be there for them.
Absolutely. It's interesting because you mentioned the local radio, and you're very well served in Sligo, and that you've Ocean FM, and in Midwest in Mayo. And like, I know myself, having worked in local radio for years, Breed, that like the death notices are such a serious and a fundamental part of the radio station, and they're a huge service. And you know, it's incredible the interest in death notices and how many times they're on throughout the day. I suppose when that then became accessible and available online to people through rip.ie, the website, it kind of broadened it then, you know, to an entirely different audience, like people worldwide. Like, I have friends, you know, that are living abroad, and they tell me that whenever their parents come to visit, first thing they'll do is give me the laptop. I need to look at rip.ie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's fantastic for staying in touch with these things, because they're like, for myself anyway, if I've missed a funeral, oh my God, I feel so bad. And like, you know, it's so annoying. So you do listen out for these things. And like I said, it's a short span of time when the funeral will be happening, so you do need to be clued into it. But like, there's professionals at it now, and they'd be so on the ball. You know, you'd walk into the room, and if it was in Sligo for Ocean, let's say, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 and 5, they're the times, and it's always
yeah, is it 2 now? It used to be 1 in my time when I was there over 10 years ago. But yeah, it's funny. It is. And absolutely, it will come on in the house and people, it is. Yeah, turn it up and everybody keep quiet. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fantastic. I think it's a fantastic asset to have. And it just shows how true we are to ourselves, you know, and how much we care about each other when we're looking up these notices. I don't think it's like some people say, oh, it's out of nosiness, but I think it genuinely comes from from the most parts of people. I think it comes from a caring.
Oh, place. I think so. I think it comes from a very genuine.
They're lovely people.
Yeah, absolutely a very genuine place. It is kind of bizarre though when you talk to people abroad and you tell them that we have a website that lists all the people who've passed away.
I know when you say it like that, but you know, it's just, I suppose in bigger cities and things, you know, around the world, they wouldn't know their neighbours. You know what I mean? We all are we're very, very clued into our communities, I believe, anyway. And like certainly in rural Ireland anyway, and even in towns and cities, like we're very community orientated. And it's I just think it's a lovely culture to be part of.
Yeah. When you're talking about our, you know, obsession, I suppose, or our interest in death, and you heard Breed refer to it there as well, like you have to talk about the death notices on local radio stations. Paul Claffey is with us. Paul's the managing director and broadcaster with Midwest Radio. Paul, I believe you were the first station to actually put death notices on Irish radio.
That's right. Back in 1989, we started it. You see, the reason being that if you take back in 1989, there was no mobile phones, there was no internet. And in some cases, people were dead and buried before other people found out about it, so particularly in rural Ireland. So I thought it was a very important service to introduce. And it was slow at the start to take up, but then obviously it became part and parcel of our everyday schedule.
Where did you get the idea from, Paul?
Well, like funerals, you know, when someone dies, it's very big news, still is, obviously, but particularly in the west of Ireland, it's very big news. And obviously, you know, I just saw that communication at those days isn't what it is now, and it was a very important service to introduce. Now, obviously, a lot of people found it very, very strange. In fact, at the time, I remember taking phone calls from radio stations all over the world that couldn't believe
they
were announcing the deaths on the radio. But we did. And it's, since then, I think most radio stations in Ireland have done the same.
Yeah. In my entire time in local radio in three different stations, there's always been death notices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. From it started in 1989. Now, I know there was a radio station in Limerick, a pirate radio station in Limerick, many years ago as well. I think they might have done something similar, but certainly we were the first in commercial radio.
Commercial radio,
yeah.
And when other stations worldwide would get in touch with you, Paul, you know, to find out why you were doing this, the concept of just, you know, I suppose to be frank about it, reading out the people who died on the radio, it just sort of blew their mind.
Absolutely. It just blew their mind, is right. That's why I was on the air. Like, for months, we were taking calls from radio stations from Australia, America, all over the place. They found it very strange. But nowadays, as we said, it's part and parcel of our schedule.
It's a huge part of the schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can also notice in your JNLRs, there's a spike in your listenership at 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock in the evening. They're still very, very popular.
Not to be too cynical about it, but I know of radio stations over the years might put on an extra reading of the death notices.
Absolutely.
For the spike, you know.
I suppose it is.
It's been done. and that's not to make light of it, but I suppose it really does show the impact that the death notices that it has on, you know, in homes across the country. How did it first start out, like in terms of the level of detail, Paul, you would have provided?
Well, we had to go through the undertakers. We obviously approached some undertakers, and the undertakers would, you know, talk to the family of the deceased, and they would either give the permission to put it on. So that's how it started. And then after a while, we introduced a charge for it. And now there's obviously very strict guidelines that we have before the death notice is aired. But now it's just, as we said, it's part and parcel of our schedule.
Yeah. That obviously translated then online in time over the past number of decades through RIP.ie. And there's still that very same, I suppose, fascination with the website, Paul.
in relation to our website, the numbers are absolutely massive again for the viewing of death notices.
Yeah,
incredible.
Listeners got in touch to say RIP.ie has been an invaluable source of information when researching my husband's family. It's been absolutely fantastic for us. We found uncles and cousins that we never even knew of. Another texter says my mum's family ran the local post office for many, many years, and the undertakers would often let them know as soon as somebody died, and it was to avoid pension fraud. I'm not sure if this is still the case, asks this texter. My dad checks RIP.ie every morning and says, all good, I'm not on it today. I'll get out of the bed, says this listener. Veronica's with us on the line in Wicklow. Veronica, are you a regular user of RIP?
Oh, hi, Andrea. I would, the figure that you gave was 60, what was the total of
it? It's 60 million page views per month.
So I think our family probably contributed half of that.
Really?
Due to my mum, because she does listen to the local East Coast radio for the death notices.
Yeah.
And then she'll get on to us to say, can you check RIP to see where that funeral is, what time it is.
Yeah, the details.
And there's four of us, there was five, but there's four of us, and she gets each one of us each other week to check it. Because my sisters are in England and stuff like that. But I would have been one of those people that was like, oh gosh, my RIP is for the older generation.
Yeah.
But after my dad and subsequently my brother passed away,
okay,
like a year or so after they had passed, to check the condolences, the messages gave us and especially my mum like a huge amount of satisfaction, and the beautiful comments on it and stuff they had did in their life. And I think it's actually invaluable to the Irish people, whether, like, I wouldn't have been one of those that would have been checking it regularly, but for my mum it's actually the messages are, they are so fulfilling for her.
Yeah, I know. And particularly as well, Veronica, probably, you know, for maybe friends of, you know, friends of the family that are living abroad or maybe couldn't make it home for the funeral. And
that was exactly my next point. Like, I've a huge amount of relatives in New Zealand and Canada and America, and they all put amazing memories of Terry on there, my brother, like, and it was just, it was just so lovely that I know they didn't make it to the funerals, or, but it was very, oh, I can't think of the word.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It was a sense of comfort, I suppose, and, you know, people who'd send
comfort,
their condolences and little remembrance messages that just might not have had a chance to do so otherwise.
Yeah,
and that's
when you're in the whole thralls of the sorrow and the sadness and the anger of the person going. It's like a month or so later when you gather your thoughts together and then you look at the messages, and it's like, oh, like Noel in New Zealand, he put a message up for Daddy, and it was like, oh my God, it's so lovely. Like, and like, you know, when you're in the sadness of it, but it's after those condolences have given my mum a massive amount of peace of mind, and us, the siblings as well, like reading about friends and family that were not there, like, because you don't see anybody at a funeral.
No.
Like, you're blinkered. You're completely blinkered in the situation. But after, it is just so worthwhile reading the messages from people near and far. And I think it's an amazing system.
Yeah. Another listener says RIP.ie has been a great service, but I've never listened to the death notices in my life. Despite being a culty, I hate large funerals and I have terrible memories of people, the deceased, pretending that they were friends, or the worst of Irish societal hypocrisy, according to Andrew. Another listener says, no matter what was happening in our house, everything had to stop when the death notices came on so my mum could listen to them. She'd let a roar at us all to shut up. Colette has made the point that she thinks, was it the teletext? Did the teletext service in RTE at some point, did they display death notices as well? Colette seems to think that they did. As a pharmacist, RIP.ie is an invaluable service to us. Often spares our blushes very often, according to Andrew. Have we got Isild on the line as well? Isild White is a psychotherapist and author. Do you think this speaks to the, like, or just our kind of our fascination and our openness with death in this country, Isild?
Well, I actually think it may speak a little to that, but I think it also speaks to our own existential anxiety around death, because, you know, obviously we all rationally know we're going to die, but we kind of at the heart of it believe that we're immortal in some way. Freud said our death is indeed unimaginable. At bottom, no one believes in his own death, but in the unconscious, everyone is convinced of his own immortality. And so then in some ways, we have this need to sort of remind ourselves safely about death. And maybe also, I think, as I was listening to everybody talk, there's something about RIP.ie that's so powerful, because, you know, unlike, say, the little death notices in the Irish Times, you know, once that paper was gone, you know, you couldn't go back and look at them. But there's something about the little messages, you know, the descriptions, everything living on in perpetuity online, that somehow maintaining a connection with our lost loved ones.
Yeah.
So I think there's this mixture of existential anxiety where we try to hold away the dread of death, and we have to do that. You know, we do that by you know, taking risks, by reading death notices, by maybe listening to serial killer podcasts, true crime serial killer podcasts, whatever. All these kinds of different ways that we try to engage with death without fully engaging with it. But then I also think there's another theory of grieving, which is called continuing bonds, which is an approach to grieving that recognizes we continue to have bonds with those that have died. And there's something about RIP.ie that really helps maintain those continuing bonds, because as people have been talking there, we're hearing about how, you know, how they would go back and look at them and then look at the messages. And it was just a lovely way of reconnecting. So that was only something that came to me as I was listening to everybody talk about it.
The texter here got in touch during COVID. RIP.ie was invaluable because we couldn't attend funerals, but we could actually leave those condolence messages. My friend in Saudi Arabia knew who had died before we did, because she checks it so regularly. I actually spoke to Sarah Gardner, she's a civil funeral celebrant, before we came on air today, about why she thinks people lean so heavily on death notices.
I think it is a great community hub. It's basically a notice board in modern format, and I think people use it to keep on top of local deaths, community news. People want to be able to share their condolence with people. And I think you see that a lot when I'm preparing for a ceremony for somebody. I would always refer to the condolence section to get an idea of the person and their life and the impact they had on people. And I think it's a great way for people to show support and to tell people how much they're going to miss their loved one. I also think then for communities, it's a great way to find out arrangements and be able to be present. You know, a lot of times you hear people back in the old days who would say, oh God, I didn't realise the funeral was on Tuesday. I was really sorry to miss that. Whereas now everybody has all of that information at their fingertips. So for me, it's a dual function.
Yeah. Finally, Iseult, you know, Paul Claffey made the point earlier when he first started death notices in local radio in Midwest back in 1989, that other stations, radio stations and TV stations from across the world were calling to interview him because it was such a bizarre concept. We sort of are an outlier in this, aren't we?
Well, yes. And we do have that funeral culture that has, and wake culture that has really served us well. And I think as we move further and further away from traditional rituals, that maybe we need to start developing new things. And so then we develop a ritual in RIP.ie, you know, like as we move further away from church rituals and the rituals that sustain society, we kind of have to generate new things that contain some of the feelings that were held in those things.
Yeah, it's very...
And it, you know, when you hear of all of the stories of the condolence messages, and I had never realised until actually a friend of mine whose mother died recently said how those messages really helped, because I personally never would have thought of leaving a condolence message online. It would have felt a bit like, I don't know, a bit social media-y or something to me. And I was like... I mean, only, but now that I hear it, I'm like, oh God,
benefits.
I must do that. You know,
yeah.
like, you know, so
it's the modern day mascot.
Well, and it's you know, the way everybody signs those books in a church, but they don't really have time to put a message and they just leave a signature. Yeah. But there's something beautiful about going back and looking at all of those messages. Yeah. Something really beautiful.
Iseult, lovely to talk to you. Iseult White there, psychotherapist. Also Breed McGowan, funeral director in Sligo. Paul Claffey from Midwest Radio, and Veronica as well for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.